All right. Quit fellowshipping. I'm just kidding. Hey, when Pastor Steve asked me to speak this morning, I was super, super excited. But before we get into the message, Pastor Steve used to start every sermon with a joke. We're bringing that back. Okay. Because I'm a dad now, so I can tell dad jokes. All right. So all you dads out there, feel free to rip this one off. This is a good one. So it's taken me 38 years, but I can finally grow facial hair. And people always ask me, it's like, how do you like that? And I'm like, it's growing on me. Yep. What can I say? The reason I started with that was because, you know, if you start on a low note, everything else is just good after that. So anyways, okay. So we are in a sermon series called Hopeful Endurance. And some of you are like, well, hopefully I can endure the rest of this sermon. That was pretty terrible. Trust me, you can with God's help. But here's the deal. When he asked me to speak on the specific passage that I'm going to speak on, I got super excited because this is one of my life passages. Oh boy, we are having struggles. But here's the deal. Hopeful endurance. Pastor Steve was talking about last week. He kind of started the sermon series off. And what he brought up to us is that we can be like a cactus in the middle of a desert, if you think about that. This is a plant that survives and thrives in a very dry, arid environment, doesn't have a lot of things, but yet somehow it's able to survive and even thrive. And he gave us one of the puzzle pieces when it comes to having hopeful endurance, and that's to be involved and not walk this journey alone. Guys, we're all going to have trials. You'll see that today. I'm going to talk about that a lot. We're all going to go through hard things, but one of the most important puzzle pieces when it comes to hopeful endurance is to not do that alone. Get involved with your church family. Guys, we've got so many amazing groups that will help you get involved. I lead a Saturday morning men's group. We've got another one that meets at the same time. We've got a Wednesday night men's group. We've got a Tuesday morning women's. We've got a Thursday night men's alliance. I see you back there, Dan. Started a men's alliance. We promoted that. What an awesome group. I would go to that, but I have worship practice. Oh, responsibilities. Anyways, we've got so much stuff. Don't walk through your trials. Don't walk through life by yourself. Hopeful endurance. One of the puzzle pieces to it is walking together with other people. But that brings us to what we're going to talk about kind of today. I'm going to be reading a lot of passages from the book of 2 Corinthians. It was written by Paul. As Owen said, Paul actually wrote, I believe, 13 of the books of the New Testament. Most of them are letters to churches. So you get out, you know, like pen pals, you write a letter. The reason I bring that up is because it's very important to understand that when you're reading the Bible. In the Bible, there's 66 books, and some of them are letters, some of them are poetry, some of them are narrative, some of them are history. It's really important to understand what kind of literature you're reading before you read it, because you can get some wild interpretations if you don't understand. So if you were to go read Psalms as if you're reading a letter, you'd be like, what in the world? You know, if you were going to go read some of the prophets as if you were reading some sort of letter, it would blow your mind. So you have to know what you're reading. So 2 Corinthians was literally a letter written by Paul to the church in a place called Corinth. And we're just going to jump in chapter 1, and I'm just going to start unpacking some of these scriptures. So 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 through 9, this is what it says. It says, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort. Owen read some of these earlier. It says, he comforts us in all of our troubles so that we can comfort others. When they are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. For the more we suffer for Christ, the more God will show us his comfort through Christ. Even when we were weighed down with troubles, it is for your comfort and salvation. For when we ourselves are comforted, we will certainly comfort you. Then you can patiently endure the same things we suffer. We are confident that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in the comfort God gives us. We think you ought to know, dear brothers and sisters, about the trouble we went through in the province of Asia. We were crushed and overwhelmed beyond all ability to endure, and we thought we would never live through it. In fact, we expected to die. But as a result, we stopped relying on ourselves and learned to rely on God who raises the dead. Okay, now there is, we could preach like 3 weeks of sermons just on that, but I just want us to get a couple of quick things. First, you will encounter trials and difficulties in life. Paul assumes that as you walk with Christ, you will encounter troubles. I think a lot of times, especially here in America, we kind of fool ourselves into thinking that trials aren't going to find us. And that's just not true. No matter who you are, no matter how smart you think you are, no matter, you know, how good you think you are, trouble and trial will find you, especially if you follow Christ. And we're going to see why. But second, this is key, God has purposes in our trials. Did you notice all the purpose statements in that passage? Things like so that, things that it is for, those statements. In this passage, it has to deal with like comfort and dependence on God. And our main passage we're going to talk about has another purpose. There's so many purposes for our troubles. And here's what I want us to get right now. God knows what he's doing. God knows what he's doing. It's almost as if he created the whole universe and created you and knows exactly who you are and exactly what you're going through all the time. He knows what he's doing. However, I don't think that we believe that all the time. So stop and think with me here. What's your first reaction when something goes wrong? I know what mine is. It's like, why, God? Why did this happen? You know, like you heard my dad joke and you're like, why did I come to church? Right? Things kind of start making us feel uncomfortable and all of a sudden we got to tell God how to do his job. We're like, God, I'm down here trying to serve you. Things are not comfortable. What are you doing? Right? We kind of get all high and mighty like, well, we could, you know, I mean, God's pretty good, but we could probably do his job better. Right? Now, there is real suffering and trouble and trial that we face. I mean, we can lose loved ones, our marriages collapse, our finances fall through, our health falls apart. And, you know, the doctor gives us that diagnosis and we begin to question God. And to be clear, let me help you understand this too. If you read through the Psalms, a lot of them are David saying, God, what are you doing? So it's okay. It's okay to say, God, what are you doing? I don't understand. It's okay to express your feelings, but there's other things that we need to do. And through our main passage, I believe we have a really good answer. And I believe it's going to kind of fix our understanding of trials because, guys, if we have the incorrect expectation and understanding of trials in this life, our faith is going to struggle and we'll miss out on the growth that God produces through them. But if we have the correct understanding and expectation, guys, our faith will thrive. Like a cactus in the desert will grow green and live in the light of God's faithful love, even though we're in the midst of difficult circumstances. So before we read kind of our main passage, we got to kind of look at the context. It's always important to know what train of thought the author is in before you just kind of read a couple verses and make some applications, okay? So we're jumping from chapter 1 in 2 Corinthians all the way to chapter 4. So in chapter 4, Paul is talking about spreading the message of the good news, the message that, guys, we can have forgiveness of our sins, we can have new life in Jesus because he died and he was raised back to life, paying the price for our sins, the gospel. And he says things like, we are fragile jars carrying this amazing treasure, basically saying, hey, we're not really amazing, but God is and the gospel is amazing. And so remember how Paul says he assumes that we're going to have trials? Listen to these passages. 2 Corinthians 4, 8 through 15. We are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. Through suffering, our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be seen in our bodies. Yes, we live under constant danger of death because we serve Jesus. Listen to that. Constant danger of death because we serve Jesus, so that the life of Jesus will be evident in our dying bodies. So we will live in the face of death, but this has resulted in eternal life for you. But we continue to preach because we have the same kind of faith the psalmist had when he said, I believed in God, so I spoke. We know that God, who raised the Lord Jesus, will also raise us with Jesus and present us to himself together with you. All of this is for your benefit, and God's grace, as God's grace reaches more and more people, and there will be great thanksgiving, and God will receive more and more glory. Guys, I wonder if we should expect to face trials. The answer is yes, if you didn't catch the sarcasm. Yes, we should, especially if you follow Christ. Now, in order to be faithful to the text, this particular passage is talking about facing trial in the context of spreading the gospel. Guys, if you're going to go out, as we all should, with people we know, with complete strangers, whoever God leads you to, we need to share that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he provided forgiveness, the gospel. We need to share that. If you do that, you will encounter trials. And that's what this passage is saying. Paul, it's mind-boggling how much persecution Paul faced in his life. But I believe that what we're about to look at, these next couple verses, actually apply to all of our trials in life. God does not waste anything. So we're going to get to, this is our next puzzle piece in hopeful endurance, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 17. Let me read it. That is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. Listen to this, verse 17. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long, yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. First thing, don't give up. Don't give up. Life can be extremely difficult, but don't give up. Remember what Paul said at the beginning of the letter. Things got so bad that Paul and his friends literally just thought they were going to die. They're like, oh, this is it. That's how bad it was. But they didn't give up. And God used Paul to write over half the New Testament and influence countless lives. Paul wrote this passage that we're talking about thousands of years later. He didn't give up. Let me reread the next verse. For our present troubles are small, and they won't last very long, yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. Guys, Paul dealt with more trouble than we will ever face. Okay, he was arrested and beaten over and over and over again. He was whipped over and over again. He was stoned. He was shipwrecked. Guys, when you start looking at how much trial and trouble Paul went through, you're kind of like, mine's not that bad, you know? I'm having a pretty good day. But his attitude was, these things are small and won't last very long. And so here's our main point. This is the puzzle piece that totally changed my perspective on trials and suffering. Our present troubles produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them. All of the trials that we face in the path of obedience to God are doing something in you. God is using it. It has a purpose. It's not meaningless. All of the sleepless nights, all of the tears that we cry, all of the pain from loss, all of the stress from opposition. When we are following Christ, God uses it to produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. This is good news. It's not meaningless. So let's read verse 18. So we don't look at the troubles we see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on the things that cannot be seen. What is he talking about? He's talking about heaven. He's talking about that future glory. He's talking about that person that we're going to be in the future as God uses everything to mold us into the image of God. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. So there's just a couple of things we're going to apply. Number one, remember, you got to be realistic. You will encounter trouble, suffering, trials in your life, especially if you follow Jesus. Jesus did not die so that we would not suffer. He died so our suffering would have meaning and purpose. His certainly did. All of the suffering that he went through produced the greatest good that anyone could ever even imagine, the salvation of the world. So that's number one. Remember, you will encounter, you can't go through life expecting that everything is going to go right all the time. You're going to encounter trials. Number two, though, every moment of your troubles, trials, suffering while you're walking with Christ in relationship with him has purpose and meaning. God is producing glory in you. Let me explain another way. So every year I do a 30 mile run with an organization called 30 for Freedom. And actually, where's yet? Yeah, Dan and Chris, right back there, they do it with me. They crush it. I barely finish. It's kind of funny to watch. But anyways, I do, it's 30 miles. And let me say first, I am not a distance runner, okay? In fact, before I started training for my first 30, the farthest I'd ever ran was 3 miles. And I did that when I was like 15 years old. Okay, I started training for my first 30 at age 34. How many of you know there's a little bit of a difference between age 15 and 34? Okay, wow, was I in for a treat? Okay, that was, oh my gosh, my first 30 was rough. Okay, the reason I mention I'm not a distance runner is I want to help you understand that I don't enjoy it at all. Okay, I don't feel good while doing it. I don't get runner's high. I'm not like, oh, this is such a beautiful day. I love running. It's just, I'm always like, when is it over? You know? My legs hurt so bad. Okay? Every mile's a struggle. I'm slow. I'm just sucking wind. But here's the thing. I've learned that there's a purpose in training. It's producing good things in me. And it's producing good things for the cause of rescuing people out of human trafficking. It trains my mind to overcome. It trains my body to be in better shape. And then when others see and ask, why in the world would you run that far? I can tell them, I'm running to raise awareness and raise funds to end human trafficking in our lifetime. There's a purpose. When the alarm goes off on Saturday morning and I have to go out and do a long run and I'm like, I do not want to do this, right? I know there's a purpose. It's going to do something. So I get out of bed, I get my running shoes on and I hobble down the road at a ridiculously slow pace. Guys, when I'm at mile 27 and my whole body is just screaming, like I've literally run a marathon and I have a couple more miles. Like what? Who does that? I just want to stop moving. I keep going because I know that there's a purpose behind it. In the same way God is telling us through this passage, and really all the passages, guys, that we read this morning, that he has a purpose in our pain, in our trials. And let me tell you, the glory that God is producing in you is so much greater than anything I could achieve by running, okay? It's almost silly to compare them. I just wanted to give you kind of a little example. There is a future glory that is being produced in you and through you. God is not wasting your pain. Every moment of your trials is used by God to produce glory. He's producing character. He's producing hope. He's producing patience, goodness, kindness, self-control. And heavenly blessings that we don't even, they're so wonderful we can't even conceptualize. He's producing wisdom. He's producing the image of Christ in you. Your pain is not wasted. I'm going to invite the band up as we close out. Guys, we may not understand. We may not see it now. But the promise of this passage is of a future glory that will outweigh any pain or any struggle. It will outshine any shadow of darkness. This passage is saying that if we could somehow weigh our pain and our future glory that we'll receive as a result of it, the weight of the future glory will be so much greater that it's not even worth comparing to our current troubles. We'll get there and be like, man, that seemed hard now, but this what I'm experiencing from God right now is so much greater. It's like not even worth thinking about the pain. So I have one simple application. That's verse 18. So we don't look at the troubles. We don't fix our eyes on the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on the things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone. Guys, in the light of eternity, all this whole life, all of the trials, and don't get me wrong, we go through legitimate trials. But in light of eternity, they will soon be gone. But the things we cannot see, the glory that God has for us, will last forever. Guys, don't fix your gaze on the trial and the pain, rather on the promise of God. For our present troubles are small and they won't last very long. Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. Fix your eyes on the eternal hope that God is producing something in you and through you. He is making something beautiful even out of all the ugly things that we encounter. God truly does work all things for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. So I don't know what it is in your life. I don't know all your stories. And I don't know why it's happening. That's why the writer of Proverbs says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. Guys, I don't want to put a percentage on it, but I'll just say 95% of the time you're going to have no idea what's going on. That's been my experience. When I go through really difficult things, I have no idea why. I don't know. Job didn't know. If you want to read about suffering, just read the book of Job. It's worse than anything you've been through. And Job had no idea, and he actually never knew. God never told him. He had no idea. Most of the time, guys, we will not know. But I can tell you this, beyond the shadow of a doubt, I will proclaim to you that with 100% confidence, God can and will use whatever it is to produce glory in you. I can know that for sure. Every follower of Christ who's in the midst of trial or suffering, God is producing a future glory. So there's an amazing passage in Psalm 30. It goes along with the song we're going to read after Owen comes up and leads us into offering, or after we pray and everything. But it's Psalm 30. Listen to this. Many of you have heard the last line. Psalm 30 verses 2 through 5 says, O Lord my God, I cried to you for help and you restored my health. You brought me up from the grave, O Lord. You kept me from falling into the pit of death. Sing to the Lord, all you godly ones. Praise his holy name. For his anger lasts a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may last through the night, but joy comes in the morning. Guys, we need to fix our eyes on the joy that will come after the trial. It may be in this life. It may be on the other side of eternity. I don't know God's plan. But there's a future glory that God is producing in you. His eternal promises of hope and life. He will give us those things. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for the fact that you tell us that all of the stuff we go through has a purpose. I thank you, it's not meaningless. I thank you, it's producing things in us, God. May we rest in that truth. May we fix our eyes on that truth and on the hope of heaven. And may we walk through our trials with hopeful endurance. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen.